Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
Well, CarFlag Nation, you can't say that I didn't warn you. And you can't say that I didn't warn the ham. The ham said it. The ham said he wanted all that smoke. Well, the ham wanted his smoke. The ham got his smoke. And it was all pretty predictable, right? But I can give the Lake Show this much. At least they made it somewhat interesting, somewhat competitive. I mean, I guess LeCap can talk all he wants about not being in it for participation trophies, except that's what they were in it for. Good job. Good effort. Good job. Good effort. You see, car flaggers, you see, I'm not just a hater. And never mind that you are in it for participation trophies, or you would not have hung that banner for winning the in-season tournament. That's the ultimate participation trophy, because it doesn't mean jack, yet there it was, hanging from the rafters. So don't tell me that. Anyway, car flaggers, I'm not a hater. I'm an LA native. How can I be a hater? Just because I don't have car flags affixed to my luxury sled does not mean that I can't be objective. Does not mean that I can't be fair. The Lake Show did everything it could last night to avoid the inevitable. It's just that the inevitable.
Inevitable.
Was, well, inevitable.
Inevitable.
That's the funniest thing about the inevitable. It's inevitable.
Inevitable. Inevitable.
Did I not say the Lakers would lose in five? That was inevitable. Inevitable. Anyway. Yes, they did lead for a bunch of the series. Yes, they did blow some double-digit leads. Yes, they did play Denver pretty tough for most of that series. They played them tough for chunks of the series, just not in any parts of the series that counted the most. In the end, the ham was always going ham. And street clothes was always going to street clothes. And at the worst possible time. And LeBag, as amazing as he somehow still is on the floor, and he is, except when he gasses out late, but can you blame him? As amazing as LeBag is on the floor, he was always going to LeBag it up. And of course, maybe most importantly of all, there was always going to be a fall guy. And that fall guy was always going to be the smoked ham. Like, I hate that this guy's not going to be around. I love having this guy around. Why? Because I'm not all about Team Lakers, but I'm all about team content. I love smoked ham. Believe me, I would give this guy a lifetime contract to be the head coach of team content. I'd just roll that thing over every year with raises. No, I don't want him coaching my NBA team, but I want him coaching my team content team for life. For life. So I hate that smoked ham, according to all sorts of reports and speculation, is not going to survive this because they need a fall guy. So if that's the case, one, it sucks. Two, you can now call smoked ham cooked ham or canned ham or burnt ham or grilled ham or scorched ham or charred ham or fat ham or canned ham. All are accurate. All work. Allegedly. I mean, essentially, if you're getting ready for work this morning and your name is Ham, you better have that bald dome on a swivel. And look, I'm not here to pile on the man. In fact, I'm here to take up for the man. I don't want him going anywhere. I love him in LA. I just don't want to take any credit from Denver. So let me give them some credit right now. Starting with that cold-blooded, dead-eye closer, Jamal Murray. They tried to sit this dude down last night. They tried to tell him to rest his bum calf, that they were going to need him, that it wasn't worth the risk. And that's understandable. I could see whereby they would try to protect this guy from himself. But I do respect the hell out of Jamal for refusing to take no for an answer. And he didn't just play 41 minutes on that bum calf. He balled the hell out on that bum calf for 41 minutes. And then when it came time to stick the dagger all the way in again. You knew this dude would not flinch.
High right side is Jamal Murray. 9 on the shot clock. Denver looking for a game winner. Murray has it on the high right side. High pick from Jokic. Murray, jumper from 8. Got it again! 3.6 seconds left for the Lakers. LeBron over to Prince. Jumper's no good at the horn. And the LA Lakers can take that L on the way out. Along with that whistle, Denver takes care of La La Land for the second game in a row.
Nuggets Radio, you take that L along with that whistle. So not one, but two daggers in that series. If Jamal Murray's not careful, he's going to start getting prank phone calls like, yo, Jamal, can you hear me, Jamal? Can you hear me? Remember when you played for the Nuggets?
Yeah.
Did you kill the Lakers?
Can you hear me, Juice?
Yes, I can hear you, buddy.
Yeah, remember when you played for the 49ers?
Yeah.
Yeah, did you kill
the Lakers?
Oh.
Jamal's like, yes. Yes, I did. I stabbed them repeatedly. Like Oge. Anyway, I'm not going to say that Denver is unbeatable. I'm not saying that. In fact, what I will say is I was disappointed in the way they started that game. In fact, I was disappointed in the way they played for much of Game 6. But it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And in the end, Denver closed like the champs they are. Jamal and the Nuggets closed like grizzled, experienced winners. And the Lake Show closed like, well, the Lake Show. The Lakers closed that game like they couldn't wait to get to the good part of the season. You know, the off-season part of the season. The bags, true specialty. Man, you know he could not wait. Once he realized, all right, we're not going to win. All right, we're not going to advance. All right, cool. Now let me start my season. Hey, listen, I can't say it enough. LeBron was amazing in these games. And again last night. And it is pretty incredible that he can do what he can still do on the floor at age 39. Nobody can say otherwise. No matter what you say about this guy, no matter what you say about that team, nobody can say otherwise. It is insane what this guy can still do at 39. How dominant, how strong, especially going to the rack, that this guy is. I want to be so clear about that. However, it's also undeniable that he is remarkably baggy. As soon as the buzzer hits, first the bag pieces out on the Nuggets right at the buzzer. No handshakes, no respect, no bro hugs, no congratulations, no well done, fellas, for kicking our asses 8 out of 9 playoff games and sending us off to Cabo the last 2 years in a row. Again, in other words, no class. Even AD hung around. Yeah, nobody likes to. You just do it. It's the right thing to do. And then, you know, if there's drama to be manufactured in the postgame, then LeBag is going to go way out of his way to manufacture that drama. That's how he got the gloss LeBag in the first place. You knew LeBag couldn't help but LeBag it all up after the series and make it all about his uncertain future rather than the very certain failure that we all watched. I don't know if you picked up on that. Let me repeat that for you. You knew he would make it about his uncertain future rather than the very certain failure that we all just watched. You just knew he was going to do something like this. It wasn't a question of if, it was a matter of when.
Tonight, was there any thought at all that, you know, this could have been your last game with the Lakers?
I'm not going to answer that. Appreciate it.
And then he walked off. What a mic drop. How dramatic. No! How come those morons in Cleveland didn't just pipe in with, please stay, LeBron? I mean, come on. You know what I hate? Like, the media will say, we're just doing our job. Man, don't give him that question. Because you know what he's going to do with it. He's going to bag it up, make it about him, get all dramatic with it. dangle everybody off the LeBag cliff heading into the offseason, and now this is what we have to deal with. This isn't cool. This isn't fun. This isn't dramatic. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced? A brake light fix or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts are extremely knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, they are friendly. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. Once again, O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. And it's nothing we haven't seen anyway for the last, 21 years of his career. And of course, thanks, Albie. Of course, everybody took that bait, hook, line, and sinker. And of course, all anybody is talking about this morning is LeCap's future. Cue the predictable article in The Athletic this morning, basically explaining that the Lakers are desperate to keep LeGM. So desperate that they're even considering drafting Bronny to appease LeGM. Yet that didn't take very long. I wonder exactly how that works. Does LeGM leak this stuff directly? Or does LeGM instruct his assistant, Rob Lopelinka, to leak it?
Rob Pastinka.
Does LeGM... Hey, V, where are you? I'm halfway through the opener. More, V. Why are you not on hold? Win or lose, V, you should be up in here. And lose you did, as you knew you would. Now, but how does that play out? Does LeGM instruct Rob Lopelinka to do it? Does LeGM let the Laker brain trust know in advance that he will be using his powers as LeGM to select his own kid? Great plan, Lake Show. You're clearly not good enough in back-to-back seasons. You can keep telling yourself you're a top four team, except the results this year would tell you otherwise. But go ahead. Draft a player who clearly is not ready to play in the league to appease his old man who will be 40 next year. What could go wrong? According to reports, the Lakers are prepared. They're desperate to keep this guy, and they are prepared to offer him a max 3-year deal. Of course, he's got that major option next year worth over $51 million. And he wants everybody to know he doesn't know what he's going to do. I'll tell you what he's not going to do. He's not going to retire. And I find it pretty hard to believe that he's going to bounce from L.A. But we've seen him do it before. He left Miami. He left Cleveland. He left Cleveland a second time. So we'll see. Something tells me, though, he's not going anywhere. If the Lakers are desperate enough to keep him, that they'll even take Bronny. I'll do you one better. I'll bet you they're not the only team willing to do it. I'll bet you you can find another team in the association that would take the two of them as a package deal. I bet that. Just as I can guarantee there is a whole lot more bagginess coming from there than what we got last night. Except I don't want to spend every hour of every day on bag watch like other entities will. So rather than spend a ton of time on that, let me shout out Denver one more time. My dude, Michael Malone, way to coach the other dude right out of his job. Michael Malone went way out of his way after the game to show some class and say, let me tell you about Darvin Ham. What a class guy. What a great coach. That's not an easy job. He did a great job. Great dude. Class act. Not an easy job. He did his best to pick up a guy that he assuredly knows he just got fired. Except Michael Malone didn't get him fired all by himself. smoked ham helped get himself fired. It hasn't happened yet, but it will. They'll let him twist for a while before they break him off. Jamal Murray, way to be that stone cold clutch killer. Yo, Joker, way to be a joker, even if it was a bit of a struggle last night. How about Michael Porter Jr.? Keeping them in that thing. Seemingly stepping up and hitting every big shot they needed. But, and not just last night, throughout the entire series, Jonte's bro was getting it done. That's some family, yo. That is some kind of family. I want to hang out with them. Also, I feel like I should take this opportunity, if in fact it's true, to wish the very best to Chard Ham. I don't know how long he has left in this job, but Burnt Ham certainly seemed to know that he was canned ham after that game last night.
It's been a hell of a 2 years, though, I tell you that, sitting in this seat. It's been a hell of a 2 years. A lot of good things that got done, but ultimately, you want to win that ultimate prize. I know what that feels like. I had that feeling a couple of times. So you want to do everything in your power to not to prevent, to continue to feel this feeling we're feeling now, the feeling of defeat.
Does that not sound like a dude who knows his time is up? And when you talk about the ultimate prize, do you mean the ears in-season tournament? Wasn't that the ultimate prize? I thought that it was because you have a banner hanging. Didn't they commission a statue to go out front too for the in-season trophy? Yeah, so the ham's got to be a goner, which I hate, but he knows it. And it has been a hell of a 2 years. He is right about that. A hell of a 2 years with a hell of a lot of underachieving. A hell of a 2 years of getting wiped out in the postseason by the Nuggets. A hell of a 2 years of LeBag absolutely LeBagging it up. And it goes without saying, the incredible baggery is only now beginning. And you know that LeBag is going to love every last second of it. Making it about himself, stringing everybody out as to whether or not he's coming or going or retiring. Or whether Bronny is, quote, the kid or the young man. Because when it comes to that sort of baggery, there is no debate. When it comes to hoops, we can debate the GOAT. LeBron, Mike, Bill Russell, Mamba, if you wish. But when it comes to this sort of baggery, there is no debate. He is the absolute GOAT when it comes to that. I mean, it's been 21 years. Do you really think, can this really be the last press conference of your bagginess, LeCap?
I'm not going to answer that.
Oh, okay. Let me try another one. Did you order Jeannie and Rob to move the team out of the Western Conference so you will no longer have to deal with Ant-Man, SGA, Jokic, Wemby, and Jaw?
I'm not going to answer that.
Oh. All right. It's my job to stay in the fight. I'll keep trying. Instead of telling everybody in the front office what to do, why don't you just tell Jamal Murray enough is enough and get the hell off of us?
I'm not going to answer that.
Oh. All right. How about this? Are you still pissed with the replay center, even after they gifted you an overturn last night?
I'm not going to answer that.
I mean, you're not? You have no comment on the marginal contact on that play?
I'm not going to answer that.
You're going to ignore the mugging all the way down the lane and just act like AD got nothing but ball?
I'm not going to answer that.
He didn't foul him. He didn't get all ball. If you ignore the seven times he fouled him on the way to the rack.
I'm not going to answer that.
All right, fine. I won't belabor it. What about D'Lo eating snacks and checking on his Discord account during halftime of this game, too? What's your reaction to that?
I'm not going to answer that.
Well, bro, now you got nothing to say? How about when Darvin Ham said, we want all the smoke and we ain't ducking no fades? Remember
we want
that?
All the smoke and we ain't ducking no fades.
Let me ask you this. When he said that, did all of you in the locker room actually hear, we want all the banana boats and we ain't flying with no upgrades?
I'm not going to answer that. Appreciate it.
Appreciate what? Now you're done. I feel badly for the Ham.
The LA Lakers can take that L.
I mean, he didn't do enough to keep that job.
Along with that whistle.
Along with that whistle.
La La Land
blast, a whistle blast. Just the vitriol, the venom, all the old L.A. cliches. La La Land, plastic, Botox faced, La La Land. Don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out, you fake plastic La La Landers. At least it's not personal. Dude, I don't even think any of the players hate anything about LA as much as that guy does. Anyway, back to the Ham. La La Land. I don't know. I thought nobody hated La La Land more than Frisco fan. But I think Denver announcer might. Listen, as far as the Ham goes, look, the dude is smoked. There's no way they bring this guy back. They underachieved under him this season. The players clearly don't buy in and haven't for quite some time. He obviously does not do enough or get enough out of them to justify bringing him back. The players realized at one point they were better off coaching themselves than listening to the Ham. The question then becomes, if the Ham is on his way out, and it appears he is, who do you get to replace the Ham? Who do you get to replace the Ham? Why not Frank Vogel? He'll be on the way out. That makes sense. Better question. Who will LaCap hire to be his next fall guy? I mean, Braun, why not just coach the team yourself? You already do. Why not? He's like Bill Belichick with all the power and authority and autonomy, but he still plays. That'd be like Bill Belichick with the Patriots. Like, I make all the calls. I make every decision in this facility, and I play quarterback. LeBron, that could be you. You could coach. You could GM. You can play 40 minutes a night. You could be LeBron, LeCoach, LeGM, LeBag, LeCap. You could draft your own kid. I mean, you're already doing most of those things anyway. Why not make it official? 1-800-636-8686. Yeah, I know that was a lot. I know that was a lot. But you know why that was a lot? Because that was a lot.
La La Land.
Hey, La La Land.
La La Land.
Even though you're just moments away from where I'm sitting. Hey, La La Land.
La La Land.
Reaction, reaction. Now what?
Can take that.
So I've got a quick question for you. Are you looking for ultimate comfort and pain relief? Let's compare G-Defy shoes to other shoe brands that promise comfort and support and pain relief. Typical shoe brands rely on EVA soles for cushioning, but G-Defy offers so much more. G-Defy goes above and beyond with VersoShock technology, providing superior shock absorption and energy return if you suffer from foot, knee, or back pain. G-Defy's advanced technology may help provide you with the relief you deserve. I can't even believe these shoes and the difference they make for me. G-Defy shoes also offer two free supportive orthotics to help improve your body's biomechanics, resulting in proper body alignment and ultimate comfort. Yes, they do all that. So whether you're an athlete, a busy parent, or just somebody who's always on the go, G-Defy shoes offers the versatility and the comfort that your feet crave and need. Say goodbye to discomfort. G-Defy is more than EVA soles. It could be your path to unparalleled comfort and pain relief. Visit Jetify.com today. Experience ultimate comfort and pain relief at Jetify.com. G-D-E-F-Y.com. Use the code JIM30 for $30 off orders of $150 or more. That's code JIM30 for $30 off orders of $150 or more. Jetify shoes. They are incredible. Let's go to Jimmy in NC. Good to have you, Jimmy. What's going on?
Yo, Rome. Hope you're doing well today. I know you're talking about who's going to be the next coach of the Lakers since smoked ham is about to be canned ham and be sent to Milwaukee for a lot of ham and feta cheese sandwiches with the Greek Freak. But it's going to be our good friend, LeBron's newest best friend, J.J. Redick. They started this silly little podcast where they literally talk about how they invented the jump shot and the pick and roll. He's been interviewing in Charlotte. Again, they're best friends, so why wouldn't they do it? With the whole podcast situation, it's been setting it up to show how smart JJ is so Le GM can bring him in to basically do whatever Le GM tells him to do on and off the floor.
I'll tell you what, my man, I'll rock that phone call. All right, let's go to the phones. 1-800-636-8686. We go to Tucson first. Rob, good to have you. Rob, what's going on?
Jim, hello.
Rob, hello.
Perpetual, pervasive LeBron apologist here, but the barrage of bums that became the Lakers' less than bountiful lineup is bewildering. Dilapidated Davis disappears as D'Angelo disappoints. A determined LeBron delves deeper into a dismay of disillusionment. Hit the jumper, Hachimoron. There's no one on the screen. I'm out.
That was odd. That was weird. Dude, my man's all about the alliteration. He's all about two things, LeBron and the alliteration. And big words. Hachimoron! I don't know, I saw Hachimoron flash to the basket last night and get a big finish. Hey, listen, I've got to tell you guys about this. So the other day, I come across a product that all of us should be carrying around. A product that I now carry around. It's something different for fresh breath. It's this amazing product called Zelman's Minty Mouth. And guys, it is an absolute game changer. If you're up in the grill of somebody else making your case for whatever it is, make sure your breath is fresh. If it's not, they won't hear what you're selling or saying anyway. Zelman's cleans your breath in a way that other mints don't and can't. Because it's not just a mint. It's a functional breath freshener capsule that you swallow. Clinically tested against the toughest offenders like garlic and onions even. You just pop two or three in your mouth, you suck the minty coating, then swallow the capsule for the confidence of fresh, clean breath that lasts for hours. This product is like nothing else you've ever tried. It fights bad breath in your mouth and then it goes down to your gut. This is the ultimate hack to get rid of coffee, garlic, or smoker's breath. It's that strong. You're going to love having the confidence of long-lasting fresh breath or your money back. That's right, or your money back guaranteed. These folks will give you your money back. Not that you'll want it, but they will. They have free shipping if you order three packs or more. And trust me, you're going to want more. And nobody likes to pay for shipping, right? So go to Zelmans.com right now. That's Zelmins.com right now. Do it now and you'll get 15% off when you use my promo code Rome. That's Zelmins.com. But you have to use the code Rome, R-O-M-E, to get your 15% savings. Do it. Do it right now. In the town of Menifee resides a young man named V. Yo, V, what up, brother?
Shaquille O'Neal, my brother, good morning. Hey, why is everyone so bent? Everyone's so sad. You know, when the clocks hit zero yesterday, I popped open a bottle of champagne, sprayed it all over my family. I even went into my streets, lit the cars on fire, flipped them like I was having a parade, because you know what? It was a victory last night. Last night was the last game I get to ever see that moron, Diarrhea Darv, coach the Lakers. I'm so happy I don't have to stare at that forehead zit with his hands in his pocket and his stupid-ass time management. Hey, moron, we want you to challenge calls, but not calls in the first quarter on that Reeves three. And then eventually, of course, when there's 3 seconds left after Murray hits that shot, We have no timeouts to advance the ball, so you look like idiots with Torian Prince throwing up a half-court heave. Great job, Diarrhea Darv. And I see you working, Mike Malone. Malone giving credit to Ham, saying, yo, Ham, Ham is a good coach. Yo, Ham is a great competitor. He has a hard job. Basically fighting to keep Ham's job so he can continue bullying Ham's bald ass for another 12 games. Hey, yo, Malone, I kind of like that. Let me try that. Hey, Jeff in Richmond, keep calling this show, brother. You're amazing. You're smart. You're skinny. I hope your gravy-filled heart doesn't explode the next time you get up off the toilet. Stay in the jungle with me, brother. Hey, great presser, Mike Malone. Now let me get some dumbass quotes, though, from Irv and Diarrhea Darv, who are blaming load management and injuries. And then Darv this morning throwing players under the bus because they, quote, bleep the bed. They bleep the bed, Darv. D'Lo had career highs, AD career highs. And like you just said, Rome, all those guys did not miss any time for injuries. And what injuries are you talking about? What, you missed Gabe Vincent? The dude averaged 1 point per game this series. You missed Jared Vanderbilt? He sat his ass on the bench the whole game yesterday. He didn't see 1 minute, dumbass Darv. So who the hell are you talking about, Baldy? And then, of course, you got LeBag the Deuce. Bag the BS Deuce, my guy. We all know you're coming back next year. No one else can pay you $50 million. No one wants to pay you $50 million. You're only threatening to leave because you want the Lakers to draft Bronny, which stupidly we will, and then oblige you with a coach that you get to pick. So, LeBron, next year, there's no excuses. Nothing for you. You need to come out and dominate, which you did in this game. You did dominate this series at some point. But can you please close your pie hole on the mic and say something smart for once? So us Laker fans don't look like idiots trying to back up your labaggery. And then the last thing, man, Jim, Romeo, I'm done, dude. I'm sick to my soul. I can't talk Lakers anymore. I'm done with these fools. They're going to do something stupid in the offseason. I'll bring it up, which they will, because guess what? There's any reports coming out that they want Trae Young. Great. That'll work because he plays great D. Thanks for nothing, Lake Show. Laugh out loud. Out.
My brother, do what you're going to do. Do what you want to do. But I'm going to ask that you not do that. Clones, what do we want when we're craving protein or we need more energy? Not bars, not sugary snacks, not energy drinks. No, we want beef. Pure and simple. So where's the beef? It's in a package of Old Trapper beef jerky. Old Trapper is not your father's jerky. Shriveled, dry, and tasteless. Old Trapper beef jerky is made from lean strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a real wood fire. So it's tender and it's tasty. It's not tough. And why is it so good? Because Old Trapper is a 50-year-old family business. Known for their relentless commitment to quality. They take smoked beef extremely seriously, and you can taste it in every single bite. Old Trapper is packed with protein, and it comes in four amazing flavors that satisfy all your cravings. Quality smoked meat at its finest that goes with you wherever you go, to the game, to the gym, to the beach. Look for Old Trapper in the Clearview bag. That way you can see the quality you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores near you. If you don't see it, ask for it by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? We are joined right now by Monty Austin Ford. Monty, good to have you in the jungle. How are you?
Hey, Romy, how you doing? I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on today. Excited to be here.
Hey, listen, it is so good to finally talk to you and have you on the program. I appreciate you making time. Monty, let me start right here. You've had some time to process your second draft with the Cards. Now, you had a haul. You had a dozen draft picks to work with. What stands out to you about what you were able to accomplish and accumulate with this draft?
Yeah, I think, Romy, I think the big thing is the volume. Like you said, you know, hey, a couple trades that we made last year, and then also as we move forward into August of this year, it gave us a bunch of swings. And so, you know, when we had that much volume, it just creates options for us, and it creates opportunities. And typically you just don't have that many, you don't have that many swings at the plate. And so, you know, with the guys that we added, we feel like we added talented players. We feel like we added good football character players, and just able to add a lot of them. And so, you know, you can never have enough good players. You never have enough good people. And we're excited to get these guys in here in just over a week and get working with them.
Monty Austin Ford joining us. All right, so you used the fourth overall pick to take Marvin Harrison Jr., who is widely considered the best non-quarterback prospect in the draft. I spoke with his coach, Monty Ryan Day, who obviously raved about Harrison. Everybody does. I'm curious, when you watch film of Harrison, what do you see? What makes him special in your eyes?
Yeah, Romy, we've done a lot of work on Marvin here over the last couple of years, and I think the thing that stands out about him is just his ability to run routes, his ability to get in and out of breaks, drop his hips for a man who is his length. Usually you don't see people be able to run routes like he does at his size and length, and really just to see him over the last 2 years and the production that he's had at a high level at Ohio State and his ball skills and his ability to be open when he's not really open, you know, and just the sheer number of explosive plays and touchdowns that he was able to create there. So, you know, Marvin checked a lot of boxes for us on the field, and then, you know, really getting the chance to get to know him checked a lot of boxes for us off the field as well.
So, Monty, it's hard to know what to believe, if anything at all, when you get closer and closer to the draft, when you hear things, you see things. You know, as an example, in the days leading up to the draft, you said you like anybody in your position, I believe this now, anybody in your position, if the phone rings, you're going to have to pick it up. Was your phone blowing up in the minutes prior to making that pick? What was it like?
Yeah, Romy, I think most of those conversations really picked up during the day leading in. And, you know, people, we've had conversations, I'd say, the couple weeks leading up to the draft. And really, those ultimately get real serious there the day going in. And some teams are, hey, it's contingent on this guy being there. Or, hey, if this guy's there, then we'll be interested. If he's not, we won't be interested. And so, you know, you continue to have those conversations, much like we did last year's draft. And, you know, last year, you know, a situation when we were picking at number three presented itself that we felt was the best interest for us to do. And, you know, this year we had those conversations, and ultimately it wasn't enough to get us to move off of the pick at number four.
So, Monty, what's it like in your experience, as you look back over your entire career, what's it like? Like, how often have you been in a situation where it wasn't in the hours or days leading up to it where these things were kicked back and forth, but rather once you were on the clock and then all of a sudden you've got to make this really important decision? How do those decisions get made? What's the process like? How many people are involved?
Yeah, I think, Romy, I think that happens pretty frequently. And, you know, I think for us, we have a few people involved in that process when we get a trade offer. You know, my assistant GM, Dave Sears, our assistant director of player personnel, Rob Kissel, our director of analytics, Charlie Adkins, all those guys are helping me weigh options. And we're weighing what the trade back looks like, what if it's a trade up, what that looks like, you know. And then when those opportunities present themselves, it's a numbers game. So, hey, we would be comfortable selecting this many players at our current pick. If we drop back, I don't know, 5, 10, 15 spots, what are the chances that player is still going to be there, or what other players are we comfortable selecting if the wheels fall off and we start losing players that we were interested in selecting? So, you know, that happens quite often, and really it's just being prepared and knowing who we would be comfortable selecting, and then just how far we would comfortably be ready to drop back.
Yeah, see, I would imagine these things are not done in a vacuum. Like, you've been looking at that board for months and months and months and months, and you have a draft philosophy, and you know where people come out on things. But I wonder, like, how heated does it get? I would imagine, Monty, you don't want people telling you what they think or what you think that you want to hear, but rather what you need to know. You want people to shoot straight. How heated in the moment can those conversations get?
They really don't get heated at all, Romy. I mean, I think really the way that we've done it the last 2 years, and I really like it, is the Friday before the draft, our board is done. We have stacked the board vertically. We have stacked the board horizontally. And, you know, when we get to draft, it's just peeling those names off the board. And so once we get to draft night, we're no longer debating, hey, would you take this wide receiver or this corner, or, hey, what about this guard between this tight end? In, like, those discussions are done on draft night. It's really just weighing the deals, weighing the opportunities that present themselves, and us making the call on the deal, not making the call on the player.
I like it. Thanks for letting us in the draft room, Monty Austin, for joining us. All right, so you weren't done in the first round. You took Missouri defensive end Darius Robinson with the 27th pick. Safe to say you're not going to win in this league without a quarterback, and you're not going to win in this league without guys who can get to the quarterback. Robinson showed that he could do that in college. What else do you like about him?
Yeah, I think the thing that stands out with Darius is just his versatility. I mean, pretty unique guy in that this guy's played at a high level of competition in the best conference in the nation in the SEC. And, you know, in 2022, he was really an interior defensive lineman. And then in 2023, they asked him to drop a little bit of weight and stand up and play on the edge. And so for a man that got the size and length of Darius to be able to do that and stand up and be effective going against SEC tackles and also show the ability to reduce inside and choke out blocks and rush from the interior, that's a unique attribute that you don't really get to see out of many people. So, you know, we were excited to add Darius because of his versatility, because of his size, his length, his disruptiveness, and really feel that he can be effective for us on all three downs against both the run and the pass.
Monty Austin for joining us. So before you go, a few more things, if you don't mind. You landed one of the top running backs in the draft in the third round. You got Florida State's Trey Benson. He lit up the combine when he ran that sub 4.440. So clearly this is a guy who can run away from you. He can also run over you. What types of things do you see him doing in your offense?
Yeah, really exciting for us to add Trey. You know, had a good career there at Florida State the last couple of years, productive back. You know, I think the thing that stands out about Trey is he's big and he's instinctive and he's got good feet and he can grind out those tough yards inside. But the thing that does stand out about him is when he does get a crease, the guy's able to hit it and can break some long runs, which is not typical in a bigger back like that. So, you know, the chance to add a back that we feel fits our offense and really complements a guy that we have on our roster already in James Conner, who had a phenomenal year last year for us, was one of our top offensive players. You know, with just the ability to add Trey to complement James just really puts our running game in a good position.
Yeah, clearly, Monty, you want to be on the same page with your head coach. I think you've got a really good young head coach, and his impact was very evident. I'm talking about Jonathan Gannon. His impact was evident both with you in Arizona and in Philly, where I thought Philadelphia really missed his presence last year. How much do you think Jonathan and his staff were able to change the culture of the franchise, even if it didn't translate to the level of winning that you were looking for last season?
Yeah, Romy, I think the thing that stands out with that and JG and his whole staff is the way that we finished the year last year. You know, the wins weren't there for us, and you know, the NFL season is long, and when you know, you start losing games and losses start piling up and you're not in the playoff picture, you know, it's easy for guys to have one foot out the door and be looking towards the offseason. And really our last five games of the year, we played our best ball of the year. And to go into Pittsburgh and go into Philadelphia, two playoff teams, and to get wins in really tough football environments. And then, you know, the last week of the season, Seattle was fighting for a playoff spot and needed the win. And you know, we played them to the wire and had a kick that just didn't go through. Otherwise, we would have won that game. You know, I think ultimately just the way that JG and his staff had prepared the team and the competitiveness and the toughness and the, you know, just ready to play each week. I think that you know, is really a reflection on what JG did and the motivation and the way that he runs our program. So, you know, that it was a great way to end the season, but, you know, now it starts all over. And now we got to find a way to build the 2024 team, and we got to build off the momentum. But ultimately it's going to be what we do this year that defines our success.
Right. And then, Monty, what about building off Kyler Murray? He returned from his knee injury in November. He started the last eight games. He threw 10 touchdowns. He rushed for three more. As he gets ready for his sixth NFL season, where do you think he's at this stage of his career, and what's his outlook for this season?
Yeah, well, it's great, Romy, that he doesn't have to focus on rehab this year. You know, last year he's coming off a very significant, serious knee injury, and so he was just laser focused last year on just getting himself into a health standpoint where he could, you know, get himself back out on the field. And on top of that, he's trying to learn a offensive system that's vastly different than anything he's ever played in. And so for him to go through rehab last spring and then into training camp and miss all of training camp and miss the first half of the season, I mean, that was challenging. That was challenging for him. And then to see him, similar to the discussion we had before, but similar to, you know, Kyler played his best ball over the last month of the season once he had got his legs under him a little bit, got more comfortable in the offense. So it's great to have him in a position this offseason where he can focus solely on the offense and getting on the same page with his receivers and his tight ends and not having to worry, focus solely on the rehab. So, you know, we're excited with where Kyler is at with the rest of our offense and really think that we can build on what we put in place last year.
So, Monty, you have crushed your jungle debut. Leave me with this thought. So much has been made of the Bill Belichick tree and why his assistants have not fared better. I'm not going to belabor that. I will ask you this, though. The same cannot necessarily be said for the front office. You're in position, in my mind, to take a really big step this year, and then you've got Nick Caserio, who is just murdering it in Houston. What do you make of the job that legend Nick is doing with the Texans?
Yeah, I hear Nick is a big fan favorite in the jungle, so I'll have to give him a little hard time about that. But you know, Nick has been awesome down there in Houston. He means a lot to me, both professionally and personally. Those guys are crushing it down there. And so, you know, I think the lessons that we learned in New England from Coach Belichick, just on roster construction and roster building and running an entire football program. I mean, I just can't thank him enough, and just to be able to see that for the time that I was there. So, you know, I know those are lessons that both Nick and I took from New England, and we're both very grateful for that. But, you know, just really, really thankful for those opportunities and trying to apply some of those as we continue to build our program here out in Arizona.
No doubt. He's already got 3 rings to his name. He spent 14 years with the Patriots, 22 years overall in the NFL, and he is the GM of the Arizona Cardinals. And as I mentioned, Monty, you just crushed your jungle debut. Really, really appreciate you. And that will not be the last time we do that, I hope. That was fun. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, Romy, can't wait to get back here. You know, I love the jungle. Keep it up, man. Appreciate you having me on.
Great to have you, Monty. You nailed it. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts are extremely knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, they are friendly. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. Once again, O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. The greatest clone of them all, Nick Caserio. I'm guessing he wants to react to Monty. Nick, what's going on?
Romy, what's happening, man? How you doing?
Good, dude. How about you?
Good. I know Monty called me out in the jungle. So in all seriousness, Monty was great. I would just say have tremendous respect and appreciation for Monty. I think you saw that. He's not only, he's a great executive, he's a better person. So awesome of the clones to be able to hear Monty and what he's doing down there in Arizona. Certainly appreciative of him. As far as the clones are concerned, I know we're getting up against it here pretty quickly, but just preparing for the smack off. Just, I know everybody's got a song that they want to, you know, present and sing about whatever their topic is. The reality is two guys have permission, or should have permission, for songs on the show. Parody Larity is one, and then I Afraid is the other one. So other than those two, leave your songs by the wayside. So War Michael's dad and War the Lakers having fun in Cabo. I'm out.
Holy crap. Nick Caserio, if you need him. Not only the best executive in the NFL, but the greatest clone ever. War Michael's dad, War the Lakers in Cabo, and only two people really deserve permission to sing in the jungle. I Afraidy and Parody Larry. Larry has support. Not only does Larry have support, but he has support from Nick Caserio. Hey, Nick, you did me no favors with that, bro. I'll never be able to shake the guy now. Nick Caserio, the legend, just green-lit Larry. Holy, oh! Rack him.
Good night now!